Coming up on this week's episode, we're talking Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea, referees and match of the day. I have a quiz and Wonders of White. Liam's got a Who Am I, so let's get started. Hello and welcome to a new episode of View from the Sideline podcast. It's Chris here. Liam's here as well. Hello, Liam.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm fine. My mood's... I'm in a lot better mood football-wise recently.
Quite a few days, isn't it?
Yeah. It's nice to get that feeling that of watching some decent football being played at Chelsea and not thinking they're going to lose every game. It's a nice feeling that. We're going to talk about them a little bit later on. We're also going to talk in a minute about Man City. We're going to look at the Arsenal Chelsea game from the weekend. Some news that hit the headlines, I think, yesterday about a certain referee, which quite entertaining to watch. Probably not so entertaining for him to see that. And then we're also going to talk about a bit on Match of the Day as well after news yesterday also that Gary Lineker's stepping down. But we'll start with Man City. And I think we're just going to talk around, obviously, what's actually happening with them at the moment because, this is unusual territory for Man City and for Pep of recent years. And they are really struggling at the moment. And I think it was quite telling on Saturday, them being ahead and then actually ending up losing the game because that's not happened for a long, long time. Where has it all gone wrong? Because when you look at the squad is probably no different to what it was last season.
No, it's not got any weaker. And I watched the game at the weekend. They were in pretty much total control for 40 minutes, I would say, in the first half.
Yeah.
They just sort of allowed Brighton to get back into it. I just don't think they quite killed the game off, which Man City generally are very good at doing. Obviously, it helps when you've got Haaland up front. A lot's been made about Rodri being missing for them. The win percentage without him in the team is a lot lower than with him in the team. Ruben Dias as well is obviously missing. He's a big loss for them. They actually played a young lad at the weekend and he played in the Champions League, I think, midweek. And I thought he had quite a good game, actually. I'm not placing any blame on him, but obviously two players with their quality are going to be a big loss, I think, for any team. But they just looked a little bit disjointed. I know that De Bruyne is coming back from injury. He came off the bench at the weekend. But they just looked lacking a few ideas, I think, maybe going forward. They were practical, went through the numbers, but they just didn't really do anything to surprise that four.
Yeah, I think actually on Saturday, I think bringing De Bruyne on was actually what was one of the reasons why they sort of struck, because they took Savinho off, who was a threat for the majority of the game, and they took him out and brought De Bruyne on, and they almost sort of changed the way that they were playing. It seemed a lot more direct, and to me it always felt second half that if Brighton could get one, that they could easily get another one. And it's very strange, because if you look back at their recent results in the league, obviously they lost 2-1 and then they lost 2-1 to Bournemouth a couple of weeks ago. They actually haven't won by two goals in the league since the 31st of August when they beat West Ham 3-1. Since then in the league, they've won 2-1, they drew 2-2, they drew 1-1, they won 3-2, won 2-1, won 1-0.
Yeah.
So they're not, don't get me wrong, they won those games. But last season before and the season before that, a lot of these games, they were winning, by 2-3 goals at least. I mean, the Southampton games, you look at, I know Southampton went there and defended for 95 minutes of the game, Man City managed to get one goal. that even then Southampton had chances. It wasn't like they had chances, and Man City just could not kill that game off.
And how many teams have gone to Man City, set up with 10 men behind the ball, and City have still absolutely steamrolled them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I just think at the moment, you know, that something isn't quite right there, and it you know, I think they heavily rely on Haaland. I think that's one thing, you know, other than, you know, Foden has got a goal in him. But other than him, they are heavily reliant on Erling Haaland. And when he's not at his best, they do tend to struggle. And I mean, they lost 4-1 in the Champions League last week. You know, that's a huge defeat for them. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it probably won't affect them qualifying, but you've got to say that they, you know, at the moment they're just stuck in some sort of rut, and for them the international break has probably come right at the right time.
Yeah. I think the other thing for Man City, it tends to, if they do go on a run like this, it tends to happen relatively early in the season. I'm not saying it's never a good time to go on a run like this, but they always seem to go on the opposite run about Christmas, just at the end of the year, where they'll probably win 14 games straight or something like that. Looking at the table, they are still second and comfortable.
Yes, Chris. Yes, comfortably. Yeah, it's not like that.
There's a bit of a gap between them and you guys in third. But I just, I think they do tend to start the season maybe a little bit slowly sometimes. You know, they generally have a longer season than most because they're normally in a cup final of some description, be that Champions League or FA Cup. Then all their players will go on international duty. They might go on a pre-season tour or something like that, but, you know, the international players might not play, and then they're maybe a bit slow getting back after pre-season, and I kind of put it down to that. But this season seems to have been a particularly bad one for them at the moment, and yet they're still in second place. You know, it's four games without, no, it's four losses in a row, isn't it? It's the first time.
So you count the League Cup game.
I still, you know, I'm not counting them out of anything, and I'm sure there aren't any Liverpool fans that are going to count them out of the league either. But they do need some players to come back, and fast. I think they need, Rodri is obviously the biggest loss, I think, for them. He keeps things, you know, really tight and sharp in centre midfield. He's always winning the ball back for them. He sort of dominates possession. And I did notice that against Brighton. I know Brighton are a possession-based team. But there was no one really there that was kind of breaking up their play in the middle of the park. Then I don't think Kovacic played particularly badly, but he's not the same type of midfielder as Rodri is. You know, he's not one that's going to boss that sort of middle third. So, yeah, they need players back quickly, but I think if they can go on a run like this and come out of it still second and with quite a big points difference to third place, I think they'll actually probably be quite happy. But yeah, one win and it all changes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, in their next six games, they've got Tottenham at home after the international break. Then they've got Liverpool away, Forest at home, Palace away, United at home, and then Villa away.
It's quite a tough run.
So they have got some tough games coming up. But then sort of after that, they've got Everton, Leicester, West Ham, Brentford and Ipswich in January. So
the run begins then.
I would say that if looking at the league table now, to think that they're only second and, you know, they have lost their last two games. If anyone could turn it around, it's probably going to be them.
I know we sort of mentioned Rodri a few times being missing, but you've got to look at that Calvin Phillips signing. He was the sort of replacement for Rodri. When Rodri's not available, Calvin Phillips was meant to be the guy that sort of comes in and replaces Rodri. And it just obviously hasn't happened. He's gone out on loan. he's not found that form, even on, in his loan spells, he's not found that form, but it has kind of left them short a bit in that area. And they've never really thought, I don't know whether they've got to get rid of Phillips before they bring in someone else, but they never seem to have thought, well, we should probably buy that Rodri backup and get someone in. Maybe they tried and you know, someone didn't want to sit on the bench, but yeah, that's what seems to have cost them, I think, at the moment. And Calvin Phillips, when he joined them, was a really good player. He'd won England International of the Year, hadn't he, I think, at that point. So, yeah, it's interesting that that's what's gone wrong when they obviously invested quite heavily into trying to stop that from happening, and it hasn't worked. So, yeah, it'll be interesting in January to see if they either bring him back from loan, if Rodri comes out, or whether they do decide they need another holding midfielder, because... that is the weak area, I think.
Yeah, no, just looking through their squad, there isn't really anyone else. I mean, like you said, you've got Kovacic, but he's not the person that you probably want to be sat in front of your defence.
No, I think they've tried Lewis, because they try and get the fullbacks to invert and fill in that position, which does sometimes work, but then it leaves gaps elsewhere on the pitch. And you know, Brighton exploited it quite well, I thought, last weekend. They attacked quite well down both wings. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they'll sign someone. Maybe they'll just hope that Rodri comes back fit. And, yeah, he's a big difference maker for them.
And a Ballon d'Or winner as well.
And a Ballon d'Or winner, yeah, controversially.
Okay, we'll look at the Chelsea-Arsenal game from the weekend. A few things that I've already said to you prior to us recording this about Michael Arteta.
Yeah. Not his biggest fan, are you, Chris?
I will say that both teams had fairly decent chances to win that game. But I think him coming out after the game saying that they dominated the game and that they've, you know, they feel hard done by, that they've not won the game, I thought was probably just a step too far. And I don't know what it is about Arsenal, but they're missing a number. It's clear to me, and I don't know if it must be clear to everyone else that they needed to buy a striker in the summer. And I'm thinking to myself, surely if you would have gone out and bought a striker, some of these chances that you're missing, you might have scored.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was really all I had to say about him. I think he's just in some like delusional world where he seems to think that Arsenal are the best team in the Premier League, but it's all he's got a book of excuses. Every time that they don't come away with a win, he uses one of these excuses.
Yeah.
I don't particularly think that he played all right. I wouldn't say that they played great. I mean, Chelsea didn't play that great, to be honest. We played some good football. We're playing a lot better football than what we did last season. But I thought we defended quite well. Cucurella got man of the match. He kept Saka quiet for the whole game. Havertz was quiet. I mean, he scored his goal, shushed the crowd, and then it got disallowed. So that kind of tells you the sort of player he is.
Did you enjoy that bit, Chris? I imagine most Chelsea fans did.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. I wiped the smile off his face for a little bit, didn't it?
It did.
I thought man for man, I personally thought we were the better team, but, you know, that's not just me saying it because I'm a Chelsea fan. I think Arsenal had some good chances, but I wouldn't say that, from that performance, I don't think they deserve to be challenging for the title. I don't think Chelsea will challenge for the title.
No, I watched the game at the weekend and I thought it was actually an entertaining one as well for a 1-1 draw. You know, both teams were trying to win it. No one was sort of sat back and playing for a draw. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Arsenal missed a striker. That is very obvious. But I don't think it was certainly not as one-sided as Arteta made it out to be. I genuinely thought it was a good even game. It ended 1-1, and I did think, yeah, it was probably a fair result from a neutral perspective watching it. Would have been a bit harsh, I think, on either side if someone had got a winner, because I don't think either side particularly did anything wrong. I think both teams defended well. I think Chelsea still maybe lack a little bit of cutting edge up front, but I think it's getting there, certainly compared to last season. Neto's added a lot, obviously got the goal, but I thought he looked dangerous throughout. You know, he was running at people. He was doing everything that I think Mudryk wants to do, and just for some reason it hasn't worked. So I think he looked dangerous. But yeah, it's the lack of a striker for Arsenal that seems to be letting them down every week almost. But it was an unusual comment by Arteta. I get that, you know, managers come out and after a game they have to sort of conduct an interview and they might try and use it to motivate their players. Perhaps he was sort of hoping to get a reaction out of them for next game, but obviously it's an international break now, so maybe not. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good game to watch, and the midfield that I was fearing looks like it started to come into play. See, like genuinely, I thought the middle of the park, I thought you looked really strong, which is worrying for everyone else, I think.
I think Caicedo is just a different player at the moment. I mean, Cucurella had a great game, but I think in the last sort of 2-3 games, I think he's been key for us. And I like Enzo Fernandez, but him and Lavia have just seemed to have clicked as like a pair. They trust each other. You can tell that when on the pitch. If one of them, you know, does move forward, the other one will stay back, and they kind of have got that trust in each other and that understanding to know, you know, who's going forward and who's going back. And Lavia looks really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he was injured for a lot of last season, so we didn't really get to see him that much. But he's strong, and he don't mind taking on players either, which I think is good. I mean, he gave the ball away a few times, and he was a little bit shaky. But I think get a few more games under his belt, and at the moment Enzo's stuck in the second team in the Europa Conference team at the moment, so he's keeping him out. But yeah, I think the main difference at the moment is from last season to this season is one, we're attacking more, which I like to see, and we're not leaving ourselves hugely open at the back either when we're doing it. And secondly, it's these games Sunday and the Sunday before that, both times we've gone a goal down and both times we've come back and got a point. Whereas last season against Arsenal, we let in a goal and then we ended up conceding 5. So yeah, there's a huge, huge difference there. And you've got to say that the team hasn't changed tremendously from last season. If anything, we've had a few players come back from injury, and obviously Neto's been added, but you look at the team that started on Sunday. You've got Sanchez, Gusto, Fofana, Colwell, Cucurella, Caicedo, Madueke, Palmer, and Jackson were all there last year. It's only Neto and Lavia, but Lavia was there last season, but he was injured, and Neto that started that game. So he must be doing something tactically different. And I quite like, I don't know if you've noticed, what he does is he obviously we're playing like a 4-2-3-1, I guess. But when we go forward, Gusto comes in to midfield. Have you noticed that? So, and then we revert to like a 3 at the back.
Yeah.
And then we've got that extra man in Gusto. And I think that's confusing a lot of teams because they don't really know what to do, how to mark him.
Yeah.
So, it's quite interesting. And I actually enjoy watching us play football. And it's not, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, the Conference League is boring. You're winning 8-0 or whatever. Yeah, we are. But at the end of the day, why shouldn't we be? You know, why shouldn't we be playing these teams and, you know, actually showing what we can do? And it's not bad because obviously I think it's clear to everyone that we basically have two teams right now. Yeah. We have the Chelsea A team and the B team. And the B team are playing the Carabao Cup games and they're playing, you know, the, well, not playing Carabao anymore, but playing the Europa Conference League games. How long that will last for, I don't know, obviously. But if you look on paper, we should be winning that competition. There's no reason why we shouldn't. And yeah, and you know, they're enjoying, it looks like they're actually enjoying playing football, which
things are looking up for.
It's a huge difference. And
I don't know whether it, I mean, you're a Chelsea fan, you probably know more than me, but it seems like there's a bit more of a settled 11. Like you just mentioned,
yeah,
a new player to play from the beginning. But last season, I seem to remember Pochettino changing. Well, rotating all the time. I mean, even the goalkeeper changed, you know, every game.
I don't, you know, I don't know how. The thing is, if you're playing in this other team, then I don't know how you feel about playing in those games. I don't know. I'm not a professional footballer. They probably want to be playing in the Premier League, but I mean, any game at the moment, they're just glad to be playing because otherwise they would be sat on the bench. And I think over Christmas, I think we've got like 3 games in like 7 days. So again, that second team will play a part in the Premier League at some point this season because he can rotate and he can trust those players because they've played together. So I think we are at an advantage, and a lot of people before the season starts in, you got too many players. Well, the reason we got too many players is because we're in all these competitions.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's found a way to manage it. How long that can last, I don't know. But at the end of the season, they're off to America to play in another tournament for a month. So, you know, I think it's ridiculous. I think you can register up to like 50 players or something.
Let's face it, Villa were in the Conference League last season. We did well in the Conference League, you know, to get to the semi-final.
Yeah, it's a lot different because it would have been a lot harder for you last season because you had teams dropping down from the Europa League.
Yeah.
Whereas this time, there's no safety net for these teams.
But we one of the reasons we tailed off was through tiredness. We didn't have as big a squad as we have now, but we certainly didn't have as big a squad as you guys have got. And you do need, not saying you maybe need two whole teams, but you need a big squad to compete.
Yeah.
And don't forget, FA Cup is going to be starting any minute.
Yeah.
I know you guys aren't in the League Cup anymore, but obviously that is a couple of games as well. Plus the Premier League, you're talking 50, if you are having a good season, you're talking 50 to 60 games easy. And in order to compete in those games, you need a squad of a full 25 plus play. We didn't have that last season, and we really struggled at the end of the season. We were a bit inconsistent. Managed to hold on to fourth, which was great in the league, but there was a time sort of come Christmas and New Year, we were still on roughly the same amount of points as Liverpool and Man City.
You were there, weren't you? You were literally there with them, weren't you?
Drastically from that. So, you know, if we'd have had a bigger squad, if we'd have had the squad that we have now, because he did add people, then it might have been a little bit different. Who knows? But, yeah, you do need a big team to compete.
It might also be the fact that we had so many injuries last year as well that we didn't have a huge squad, and you know, we were playing players out of position as well at points in that stage, so that might be another thinking behind it. But you've got to think, you know, they've put in a lot of money to these players.
Yeah.
And I don't particularly think that you'll see a lot of money being spent now in the next 2 to 3 years. I think they're going to try and settle on, especially, obviously, there's a lot of players on there on long contracts as well.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to try and, you know, I think the plan all along was to get that steady team, not have to buy players, and try and buy these players when they're young. And at the moment, we're seeing results.
Yeah, I mean, and the average age of you guys this weekend.
Still young. Still.
In theory, you know, if you're successful, I don't know what a successful season counts for you guys, but probably winning the Conference League and, you know, where you are at the moment.
Well, I would say, anything from last year, mate, is an improvement, really, isn't it? I mean, I'll say this now, if we don't win that Conference League, I think that'll actually be quite disappointing, to be honest.
Purely
because the fact that we'll be the first team to have won all the European trophies as well. I know it's not a huge accomplishment, but, you know, to say that we've won all of them.
Yeah.
Obviously, it gives you a way into the Europa League, but I'm hoping we wouldn't need to use that.
No, and I think if you qualify for the Champions League via your league position.
Oh, yeah. I think top four and a trophy, I think, is a huge statement, especially for a new manager to come in and do that and overturn, you know, towards the end of last season, we were moving like in the right direction. But it just seems like he's come in now and he's taken on further what Poch was, you know, trying to do.
Yeah.
He's managed to do it. He's managed to get that extra from the players. And it seems like that they've got trust in him, which I think is good. And I mean, we're far from, you know, winning the league. That's a future thing. It's probably not going to happen the next 2 to 3 seasons, but I think after that, that's when they're going to want to start seeing, you know, actually fighting for the league. But until then, a few cup wins and top fours, you know, it makes a difference. And, you know, Champions League is such a, you know, huge tournament as well. And I get quite jealous that, you know, that you get to watch, you know, Champions League football, you know, but hoping that what, you know, we'll get back there next season. And if we continue the way we are, I think Christmas is going to be huge to see how they manage that. And we've got a trip to Kazakhstan as well in the middle of all this as well, which, I mean, isn't ideal. And probably the downside of playing in Europe, but I think that trip to Kazakhstan, you'll see. I think the youth team might be sent out, to be honest with you, but they've moved the. So we're playing Astana on in England. It's actually like Thursday afternoon we're playing, and then the game against Brentford, which is the weekend, has actually been moved to Sunday night at 7 o'clock. I assume that's because of the travel time that, you know, it will take, but I don't think they'll take the A team. I think the C team will be going to Kazakhstan, if I'm honest. So, but we'll see. Right. That's enough about Chelsea. Everyone's going to get bored of me talking about Chelsea. Next two things we're going to talk about are things that have happened literally in the last sort of 24, 48 hours. First off, we'll talk about the referee.
Yeah.
In a bit of hot water, I would say. I cannot fathom why he's done that.
No, I don't know.
I'm almost expecting that, like, a gun to his head has been, like, censored out or something.
Yeah.
Because why would you go and make a video about basically your job? That's like me going on like Facebook, doing a Facebook live and just slating the job that I work for, saying that I hate everyone and, you know, I hate my boss and they're horrible to me, and, you know, it's just crazy, isn't it? It's just absolutely mad.
Yeah, and he said it's not real, hasn't he? And I think it's under further investigation.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. If he has done that, he's stupid. And how he's refereeing games, I don't know. This is the issue. In the day of technology, there are websites and there are apps that you can use where you can, you know, you can use just a simple video and it will AI the voice in for you.
Yeah.
So
it's not in the realms of possibility.
No.
It seems odd because he's kind of sat on a sofa and the guy recording him is like stood in front of him.
This is what it just seems very odd. It just seems the whole setup. This is what I said. It's like someone's got a gun to his head.
It's like he's been forced.
It's like he's been kidnapped, and this is his like speech to say, you know, come and get me.
Yeah,
but it's just odd.
It's very, very weird. But yeah, if he has gone and said those things, mostly about Klopp, just seemed a little bit strange that he denied
most. Most of it was aimed at Liverpool, though, wasn't it? So,
I mean, there was no hint of bias against them at the weekend. Exactly. I don't actually think that one of them was a penalty. I think the other one was debatable. But yeah, I don't think he had a horrendous game at the weekend.
No, I
decisions, but he got the major ones. I think okay. But anyway, the point being, if you're a referee, you know that you can't be filmed saying these things, and it seems like a very strange sort of error of judgment on his part to do that. I do always wonder, you know, if you're a referee, you obviously have to declare for a team, or you have to declare what team you support before you do it professionally. How easy is it to lie? How easy is it?
Yeah, this is...
You necessarily have to, like, so... I don't know how to use... Let's take me, for example. I'm an Aston Villa fan. If I was going to become a referee, they'd probably go, right, well, you're not going to referee any Birmingham games or any West Brom games or any Wolves games. But everybody who listens to this podcast knows I don't really like Leeds. But they're not going to stop me from refereeing against Leeds, are they? Because why would they? There's no...
Yeah, well, this is...
So how do you stop that from happening? And if he's got a... I don't know... I think he's from Manchester. I read he's from Manchester. I don't know whether that's real.
Well, this is what they're basically saying. So basically they're saying that why do all these northern referees, right, all these referees from up north, none of them have said that they support any of the Premier League teams that are from the north. They all support Championship or lower teams.
Yeah, so Mike
which being... is strange. Which is strange because... This guy is from Manchester, but from my understanding, he doesn't support either of the Manchester clubs.
Yeah.
Which does seem odd, but I think it'll just have to be, let's see what happens, because I don't know, I'm 50-50 with it. I honestly don't know. I mean, if it's a fake, it's a very good fake.
Yeah, if it is a fake, but I don't know why someone would fake it.
Why would someone go out their way to do it, unless they're a better fan that,
But if you want to take down a referee or something, surely you make an AI video of them taking a bribe or something.
Oh, yeah, it
seems odd to... make a video of them criticising a manager who isn't actually even there anymore, and, you know, I don't know. Just...
It's not like he's, like, blown to start the game and just literally walked up to Jurgen Klopp and sent him off. Because that's what I'd do to Arteta, by the way. That's how they'd know. That's what I'd never be allowed to referee an Arsenal game.
Yeah.
I'd be straight up to him and send him off. But yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I don't know how they investigate this. I don't know. I guess they'll get some sort of AI specialist on it or something. I don't know. But I mean, if he hasn't done it, then, you know, I feel sorry for him because, you know, he's got a lot of heat for this online, especially online. And if he hasn't done it, he could still technically, you know, if it is a fake, but they don't see it as a fake, he could lose his job.
Yeah.
Which isn't right. But it's worrying, isn't it? If it is a fake, that it's that easy to do and that easy to convince people.
Yeah.
That you can do it. It's just very, very worrying, I think. But we'll wait and see what happens on that one. And I guess lastly, we'll talk about match of the day.
Yeah, someone else is leaving their job.
Well, he technically hasn't said it. I mean, he has in the past got away with quite a lot. But from my understanding, this is his own decision and that he's not being forced out or anything. But you've got to think, it's a huge part of, like, I know we're not old, are we? But you think 25 years he's been doing Match of the Day. You know, that's a lot of our lifetime that he's been presenting that show.
Yeah.
It's a lot different now because you can literally go on Sky Sports YouTube channel and watch the goals within like 45 minutes of them being scored. So I understand probably like the people that watch it, it's probably gone down in the years, but I always tend to watch it, if it's on and I'm not doing anything else and Chelsea haven't lost. Well, yeah. I'll watch it. Don't need to watch. If they lose, I don't need to watch it. But
I'm gonna have done something embarrassing, but it's been a part of our lives. I mean, ever since I can remember, really. I remember it going to ITV for a bit, and then coming back. But other than that, I don't remember Gary Lineker not presenting.
Wasn't it called like the Premiership or something? Stupid like that. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah,
Adrian Charles did it, didn't he? It was Asian child.
He did for a bit, yeah. I think he did. But yeah, I other than that, I don't remember Gary Lineker not presenting the highlights of football at the end of every day. They are massive shoes to fill.
Who though? I'll tell you who's not going to be.
It's not going to be
Jermaine Genius. I'll tell you that now. He probably had a shout at that job. Not even gonna lie. I think he probably would have been up there with the favourites for that job.
I think.
Why am I saying favourites? Like it's like the England job.
I think someone did ask Gary Lineker about a year or so ago, who do you think will replace you when you eventually go? And I think he did say Jermaine Genius. Obviously, that was before.
I just don't know who. I mean, you've got Mark Chapman, haven't you? Who does Match of the Day too? But I think he's quite happy doing that.
He's in the league as well, and he does Five Live.
Yeah, he also does Carabao Cup on Sky Sports, so I don't know whether they'd want him to continue doing that or not. I mean, Gary Lineker does Champions League, but he does that for an American TV show, doesn't he? So it might be a bit different because he does it for Sky Sports. But then you've got Gabby Logan, who's done here and there, haven't? You know, she's done
a deputy. Yeah.
She's done it.
The golf or something.
I mean,
does come in.
Alex Scott is probably going to have her name in the ring, but I'm not too sure. Not because she's a woman, for anyone's sentiment. I just don't think she's at that stage.
Not been around as long.
In her sort of career.
Yeah.
But then I don't see many of the pundits that they have on there moving over to present it either.
No, I don't.
Can you imagine Micah Richards presenting to the day? It'd be chaos.
No.
I don't see anyone. So even Alan Shearer, I don't see him.
No.
But I see now Lineker's going. I think a couple of them might leave as well.
Yeah, I
can. Because Shearer does. He was commentating on the Champions League game on. Tuesday, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was.
He's kind of doing that now, and I thought he was quite good, actually, so I watched that game.
Yeah, he was. And he does games for Five Live as well, where he co-commentates.
Yeah.
And he's always quite good on there as well.
Now, the radio. I'll throw it out there, Jeff Stelling.
Bring him back. Bring back Jeff.
He could just do it for a little bit, a year, see how he gets on. But there's no big sort of football presenters out there that they're not going to be able to fill his shoes, so I don't know what they're going to do.
It's that age-old debate. Do you go with someone who tries to be an imitation of Gary Lineker, or do you completely change it up and go with someone?
No one's going to present Match of the Day in their underwear, are they? Let's face it.
The only name that I think I thought, actually, that's quite a good shout, and it's a very outside shout because I know he's busy doing other things, but Colin Murray was the name that I saw.
Yeah, he used to
I always liked him on Match of the Day too, and I always liked him on, I think, Channel 5.
He did the EFL highlights, didn't he, Channel 5. I think he used to still do it, but they were on like a different channel, like a weird channel or something. I don't know what they were on, but
down now, and he still works on the radio. So I think maybe late notice for him to completely change it. But I quite like to see him in a gig like that because I always listen to him on Fight and Talk on Five Live. He was always so yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him do it. I don't think it will happen, but yeah, he would be my out.
I just don't know who they're gonna get unless they. I don't know. I guess they'll start looking for someone pretty much straight away, won't they? Because obviously they want to get someone ready for it. But I think he's still
share it out between people, maybe for a year or two. Maybe they'll, you know, some weeks chapter.
They could just do like a guest thing, couldn't they? Like a guest person.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be one person. It might even be a bit more entertaining if it's like different people each week just having a little go. There's no harm in it, but I mean, yeah, I just don't know who they. But he's staying on though, isn't he? To do
staying on for the World Cup.
The 2026 World Cup. He's going to present, and he's going to present all like the FA Cups and stuff. The games stuff. So the live games. So. I mean, he's not going anyway, he's just not doing Match of the Day anymore. But someone told me that he does a podcast, doesn't he, with Alan Shearer and Micah Richards.
Yes.
But apparently it's his company he's got his own company that produces it, but they produce like loads of other podcasts.
Yeah, they do all the rest is
podcasts. Yeah, so they've got. He's got like that whole sort of podcast empire now. I didn't realise that. I didn't click, to be honest with you, that I just thought he just did a podcast with his two friends. But I didn't realise, it didn't click in my head that the rest of whatever other podcasts I've seen when I've been looking through podcasts, he actually owns. I didn't realise that, so.
I mean, do you want to throw your hat into the ring, Chris? I'd happily take over Match of the Day. I'd be a bit cheaper, I think.
Yeah, well, I think we'd be a lot cheaper, to be honest with you. I mean, free? Yeah. You know.
I'd pay them to do it. Why not?
Yeah. But no, it'd be interesting to see what they do. And he's going to have a laugh of it now. You've got to think for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Let's just hope he doesn't go one step further than the boxers and go for the last episode. But, I mean, for 25 years, I mean, that's a long, long time. And probably, to be fair, he probably deserves his Saturday nights back, to be fair. So we'll see what happens with that one as well. But yeah, that's the end of part one. We'll be back in part two with some Wonders of White, a quiz, and a Who Am I? Hello and welcome back to this episode of View From Silent Podcast. And we're going to get into some Wonders of White. Now, Tottenham and Man City fans, turn off in the next 5 minutes. Because these will be especially big for you. We'll go with Man City first. So Erling Haaland has lost his first Premier League game, which he scored in. Having won 40 and drawn 6 of the previous 46 he'd actually scored in.
Wow, I didn't realise that.
Yeah. So he's tasted defeat after scoring for the first time. Manchester City have lost a Premier League game in which they have led at half-time for the first time since May 2021. It was actually Brighton that did that to them last time as well.
Another bogey team.
Deja vu there for him. And Tottenham have fallen behind 1-0 in 13 home Premier League matches in 2024 calendar year. Only Spurs themselves in 94, Ipswich in 94 and Palace in 2017 have done this in more home games in a single calendar year. And they've all done 14. So,
more to go.
Tottenham have still got 3 home games, I think it was when I checked. So, yeah, And Spurs have fallen 2-0 down at home to a promoted side in the Premier League for the first time since April 2003 versus Kevin Keegan's Manchester City.
Wow, there you go.
So, yeah.
Turn up that one, wasn't it? Ipswich played really well. And they scored a really good goal as well. I think it was the second one.
Both goals were pretty good, to be fair. One was an overhead kick as well.
Yeah.
I just... Yeah, they have fallen right off.
Unless they played
this season. Enough. I thought Andrew was supposed to win stuff in his second season. I was told at the start of the season as well.
No, he demanded it, didn't he? Yeah. Asked about it in interviews. He was like, yep, it's definitely happening.
I think the wheels have fallen off on that one very quickly.
Unless they play Villa, in which case they turn into Brazil in the 90s. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got to play Chelsea in December, so you never know. Right, quiz time. On the back of those Wonders of White, got me looking into a quiz around Premier League records, specifically team records, not player records. Some of these are quite easy. Some of these are quite difficult. Some of these I've given you a choice.
Okay.
So, just to try and make it a bit easier. So, which team has won the Premier League by the biggest margin of 19 points?
That's got to be one of the Man United ones, surely. The silence suggests it's Chelsea.
It's neither, it's Man City.
Oh, is it?
In the 17-18 season, yeah. In the 2007-2008 season, which team only won one game?
That would be Derby County.
It's Derby County.
Yeah.
Six teams hold the record for zero away wins in a Premier League season. Can you name three of them?
Yeah, one of them's Aston Villa. Sure, we didn't win away from home the year we went down. Yeah, I'm going to say...
I'll say Villa is not on this list.
Oh, Villa's not on the list. Okay, Derby have got to be on the list.
Derby are on the list, yes.
Okay, Derby, I will go with...
You can give me six answers. You give me six.
I'll give you three. So, Villa was wrong. But Derby and Sunderland, I'm going to go with... Who else has been rubbish in the Premier League at some point? I'm going to go with, like, Huddersfield. Not winning away from home. I'm going to go with Sheffield United, not winning away from home. And I'm going to go with Reading.
You got one right, which is Derby. Yeah. So Leeds are on the list. Coventry, Wolves, Norwich and Hull are the other five.
Rubbish.
let's have a look. Okay, which team hold the record for the most consecutive Premier League defeats with 15? Is it Sunderland or Middlesbrough?
That's got to be Sunderland.
It is Sunderland, yeah. Okay, from the 21st of February from the 21st of February 2004 to the 26th of October 2008, which team didn't lose a single home game in 86?
I believe that would be Chelsea.
They hold the record, yes. In the 94-95 season, which team only conceded four goals at home? Which is ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. Who would have won the league? That would have been United winning the league. It's got to be United then.
It is Man United, yeah.
Four goals at home.
That's crazy, isn't it? Okay. Two clubs have won promotion to the Premier League and have never been relegated. Can you name them?
Brentford.
That is one of them.
And Brighton.
Is the other one, yeah. So Brighton came up for the 16-17 season and Brentford for the 2021 season. There have been four 9-0 wins in the Premier League. Can you name me two of the teams that have been involved in two of those matches out of the four?
So Spurs beat Wigan, I think. 9-0. How many 9-0s did you say there'd been?
There's been four, but two of the teams have been in there twice.
Right, so Southampton have lost 9-0 twice.
Yeah, and there's a team that have won it 9-0 twice.
There's a team that have won 9-0. Man United?
It is Man United in Southampton, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, which London team holds the record for the most yellow cards in a Premier League season?
That, I would say, would be Arsenal.
The correct answer is 105, and it was last season, and it was Chelsea.
Oh!
I did not know that myself until...
Dirty.
Well, until I wrote it down. And the last one. In 2018, the Premier League attendance record was broken, but at which ground?
Oh, God. So, is it the Premier League attendance for the ground, or the Premier League attendance as in like the most amount of people watching the Premier League that season?
It was for a single game.
Oh, for a single game?
Yeah.
What year?
2018.
That's when Spurs were at Wembley. Surely.
Damn, my trick question didn't work.
So
technically, and this is on the official Premier League website, they list that the Premier League attendance record is Tottenham, but I guess for a bonus point, who did they play when they broke this record?
Oh. But it's at Wembley, so I don't think it'll be another London team. Or is it another London team? I'd have thought they'd have sort of separated them out a little bit. So I suppose Arsenal then.
It is, yeah. 83,222.
There we go.
Now, I looked high and low for a record that Villa were in.
Yeah, we don't.
And I did find one.
Not a good one.
I can't remember what it was. Let me see if I can quickly find it and see if you can, if I give you the dates. See if you know what it was for.
Yeah, we don't have any team records, but when it comes to players, you know, Harry and Milner.
This was a team one, though, from what I remember.
We have players that last a long time.
Oh, I remember what it was. Yep, I remember what it was. Okay, so you hold the joint record. So this record is a joint record that you have done twice, actually. You're the only team to do this twice. So you kind of are record holders because you've done it twice.
Okay.
You did it in the 06-07 season and the 11-12 season. And this thing you did 17 times. But do you know what you did 17 times?
It's I think it's something embarrassing. I'm guessing it's an own goal.
It's not own goals.
Is it not? We used to score loads of them.
No, it's to do with the table, the Premier League table, and in one of the columns you've got 17.
Ooh. 06-07, and again in 11. Well, we were rubbish in 11-12, but we were okay in 06-07.
You did it 17 times out of 38 matches.
Oh, record amount of draws. It's got
to. Yeah. Now, it's a bit hazy, this one, because although you did 17, they do list 18 for Manchester City, Sheffield United and Southampton, but that was when it was 42 matches. So, technically, you played fewer matches and drew one less game. So, on average... Sunderland have done it and Newcastle have done 17 as well. But you've done it twice, apparently.
It's like a draw back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice.
I actually forgotten how many you got. Let me just have a look. One, two,
Not about the points, Chris.
Two, about the three, four, five, six. You got 7 out of 10. So
oh, that's
pretty respectable.
Not as bad as I thought, considering I only got 1 out of 6 for the away record team, which was quite embarrassing. Are you ready for a Who Am I?
I am, yes.
I'm going to do it a little bit differently this week. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you their managerial career, and then if you don't get it from that, I'm then going to give you their playing career, which should be relatively easy, I think. So, are you ready for their managerial career?
Yes.
So they're not currently employed. So the list of teams that I'm going to read out is the actual list. It's not like they're at someone else. Okay. So their managerial career began at Muang Thong United.
Oh my goodness me.
They then went to Brisbane Roar. They then went to East Bengal. And then they ended up, their last role was at Al Qadzia. Any ideas who that might be? I'll let you have double points if you can get it from that. It is quite difficult.
Brisbane Roar. Now, I think Brisbane Roar, they're a fairly new team in Australia.
Yeah, I did forget that you like your A-League.
And they've only really had one manager that's been quite famous. I mean, they had John Aloisi. Can you remember John Aloisi?
I do remember John Aloisi, yeah.
Yeah, he was there for a little bit. But, Liam, I hate to tell you, but I probably know the answer to this one.
Go for it.
This is Robbie Fowler.
It is Robbie Fowler.
Yeah.
Yes, I forgot that you do like...
Yeah, sorry, yeah, I do follow the A-Leagues. yeah, that could be... When I go on Mastermind, you should do... Actually, when we next record...
I'll do you an A-League.
Test me on my A-League knowledge, because it's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, Robbie Fowler, he didn't last very long. I think he was there for about a season.
Yeah, my memory
serves me right. They're quite a fairly new team, I think. I think they've only been in the A-League for about 10 years, maybe.
Let me just check. He was manager of them for 23 matches from the 23rd of April 2019. The 29th of June 2020. He won 11 out of 23, drawn 5, lost 7.
I mean, they're not a bad, they're not a bad side. But if you ever want to know where ex Premier League players go, if they're not in Saudi Arabia or in America, you'll probably find them in Australia.
He had a better record at Al Qadzia, although he's only been in charge, for 8 games.
Is he there now, is he?
No, he's not. He left on the 26th of October, 2023. He was only hired on the 29th of June. He won 6, drawn 2. So a bit of a harsh sacking. That's if he was sacked.
Yeah.
But yeah, he didn't lose a game for them. But there we go.
Frank Lampard's getting the Coventry job.
It's not gone down too well with the Coventry City fans that I know. And I'm not surprised, to be honest. Because they did like Mark Robbins. And I don't think many of them wanted him to leave. So, yeah.
He got sacked. He did, yeah.
It's going to be a tough job. I don't think the owners have covered themselves in too much glory there.
Never mind. Anyway, anything else?
Not from me.
Okay, we'll be back soon.